More news in half an hour on Classic 1027. Every morning, Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Arensa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
It's 7:31. British Prime Minister Theresa May has landed in South Africa to meet President Cyril Ramaphosa in Cape Town. This is part of a three-country African tour that she undertakes this week, on which she will emphasize the trading opportunities open to the UK as it leaves the European Union. To talk to us about the SA-UK trade relations is Dr. Martin Davis, who's the Managing Director of Emerging Markets in Africa at Deloitte Africa. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for your time. Let's perhaps take it back a little bit and talk about South Africa-UK relations in the past. How have they been?
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much. Well, you know, of course, it's amazing that UK Prime Minister has not been to Africa for the last 5 years. You contrast that typically to you know, Emmanuel Macron, the French head of state. You contrast that to obviously the Chinese. Even from Angela Merkel, from the German side, there's been frequent visits in recent years, but the state of benign neglect, arguably in recent times. I read also yesterday that a UK head of state has not been to Kenya for 30 years. And this is just simply staggering. So in the context now, I've seen, of course, South Africa and Britain have a lot of connectivity, a lot of, you know, historical relations and a lot of commercial relations. But ultimately, I think this has been a relationship that's been politically neglected vis-a-vis many other relationships, and one that needs in serious need of revitalization. I think that's sort of a starting point.
Do you think that this visit is one of those that is prompted probably more intensely, given the fact that we have President Donald Trump having a more protectionist stance, and also we have Prime Minister Theresa May's woes on the UK side having to finalise this Brexit plan before March 29th?
Yeah, I think you summed it up. I think first and foremost, on the Brexit front, UK is being a lot more assertive on trade policy. So seeking sort of a new, more confident, if you will, more assertive, almost one that seeks to disconnect almost from the EU approach vis-à-vis Africa. This applies to both commerce and particularly on the aid front. So expect a far more proactive aid sort of approach from UK vis-à-vis Africa in coming years. And it's fairly obvious in the three countries being visited, South Africa, Kenya and Nigeria, the three sort of mainstays of the sub-Saharan African economy, both of which are former colonies. We're now seeing Theresa May traveling to Lusophone Africa, i.e. Mozambique, Angola. She's not going to Francophone Africa. These are sort of the primary economies of sub-Saharan Africa, which are part of the Commonwealth. So the sort of broader issue here is how does the UK become more sort of proactive as the Commonwealth in promoting commercial relations. And of course, there was a very prominent conference in the UK a few months ago, which Cyril Ramaphosa attended, attended by Commonwealth business leaders. The second factor is, I mean, here looking, you know, on a political front, geopolitical front, the UK being a bit more assertive. Again, the French are a lot more proactive in their own region, think sort of, you know, Francophone Africa region, West Africa. The Chinese are active pretty much everywhere. And even Donald Trump is not just inactive, but very vocal. So the UK seeks to position itself somehow within these sort of different sort of position itself in these different sort of emerging relationships amongst the emerging and traditional sort of powers. But again, how does the UK project influence beyond existing relationships? It's a very different political economy to China and Beijing, and doesn't have really the financial firepower to throw around that China's policy banks, i.e. state-owned banks, most certainly do.
Given that, then, how does South Africa position itself in order to cement, I suppose, strong economic relationships even post-Brexit?
Yeah, look, a lot of historical, bricks and mortar FDI in South Africa, British companies. But arguably more importantly, there's portfolio flows predominantly coming out of London, and this is where it's most important. So those flows are obviously not politically directed by the UK government and never will be. However, it's about how does South Africa, it's not so much about the FDI per se, which we seem to be focused on these days, just seemingly hitting a target. More about instilling a sense of confidence that South African government is doing the right thing in terms of initiating structural reform, getting that, I'm not going to say message across, but making it obvious through practice rather than just rhetoric, and trying to sort of, you know, basically have a knock-on positive effect on confidence amongst portfolio firm investors, asset managers and the like, who all of whom are based largely based in London, places like London, New York, Boston, etc. So that's the most important thing, I think. And you'll see that the companies accompanying Theresa May this week are relatively small companies most of us haven't heard of. Yes, they're interesting, yes, doing great things, but they ain't going to move a needle in terms of our FDI into the country, not to mention portfolio flow. So I think those are sort of issues. Other than that, it's just arguably going for motions and having a building relationship between Cyril Ramaphosa and Theresa May, which of course underpins personal relationships, always underpins geopolitics at the end of the day.
We've spoken about South Africa. Let's look a little bit at Nigeria and Kenya, which are the next two countries that you will be visiting. From their side and some of the stats you've looked at and the information you have on those countries, what do you think is some of the things they will be putting on the table to cement the relationship between themselves and the UK?
Arguably, you know, business people, politicians in Nairobi and Abuja / Lagos have even a closer affinity to London than we do. There's very much of a close historical tie. There's an emotional linkage. And I think you're looking at sort of firstly in Kenya's front, you know, Kenyatta's approach would be seeing himself as much more of an African statesman, a lot more assertive in foreign policy. Meeting this week again with, well, he's meeting Donald Trump, almost seeing projecting himself as the African de facto spokesman, if you will, meeting Donald Trump and trying to have a constructive relationship there. I think Ogo will be front of mind in that context. And then also he's also meeting with Xi Jinping once again, the Chinese leadership, and Theresa May all in a week. So from Kenya's side, this is very much a strong political play for him, and sort of it will make, you know, cement his position in terms of the public opinion and the like in Kenya. I think the commercial relationship will tick along as per usual. In Nigeria's case, look, Nigeria's both, you know, leading up to elections again next year, Nigeria expect, you know, potentially political change there. But again, the arguably rather lethargic nature of leadership in Nigeria these days, we're not going to see too much proactive coming through. It's more about British companies trying to get more access to the Nigerian economy, but that arguably depends not so much on politics as it does reform itself, the Nigerian government. So I expect a lot of rhetoric, a lot of contrast, as we already discussed with other countries and powers of how they're sort of emerging with tradition in the region, who, you know, how this is jockeying for position for what it's worth. But I don't expect much to come out of this in terms of significant announcements of investment and the like.
All right, Dr. Davis, thank you so much for your time. That's Dr. Martin Davis, who's the Managing Director of Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte Africa. Time to have a look at traffic.